Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. I'm joined, as always, by Pat Fitzmaurice at Fitz_FF on the Twitter machine. Fitzy, mailbag episode today. It's going to be a fun one. You went to Twitter. You got questions from everybody. Good questions, too. Let me ask you this before we start answering the actual football questions, because you have guests on your show all the time. Do you have like a non-fantasy question you like to ask people, or a non-football question you like to ask people when you're interviewing them?
Let's see, Bog. So I like talking to people about music and food, but I also like talking to people about where they live and, you know, just asking them, like, what is the best thing about your hometown, or what is the worst thing about it? And like, the answers are always pretty interesting. And a lot of things, people come up with a lot of answers I wouldn't have anticipated.
What's like, the most obscure one you got?
Oh, man. That's a good question. I'm trying to think of, off the top of my head, man, I can't think of that. But
no quirky thing. Like mine, if you're asking me that, which you didn't, but I'll answer it anyway, because I'm a narcissist. The best thing about living here to me, because I'm a night owl, like I'm up late into the wee hours of the morning pretty much every day. That's just the way I'm built, you know, through college and all that stuff. I was working at a restaurant and I work late into the morning. So I kind of have adapted that schedule. So for me, the best part about moving from Arizona to Texas is noon kickoffs. I hated the 10 a.m. kickoffs every single Sunday. So I love that. The thing that I dislike the most about living in Texas is where I live is far from everything. It takes me an hour to get into Houston because of the traffic. Nothing is close. You know, I'm here to help take care of my mom, and her doctors are like 45 minutes away. So whenever we want to go somewhere that's not like a fast food place, it's going to be an adventure because of the traffic. And, you know, it's Texas, everything's spread out. So, that would be my answer to that.
Now that you just mentioned it, well, I was talking, this isn't obscure, but I was just talking to Alex Dunlap of Roster Watch, who lives in the Austin area.
Austin's nice.
You know, from when we had the Fantasy Pros company trip to Dallas this year, and like I was kind of driving around Dallas, you see all these chain taco places. And man, like I would love a chain taco place up here in the Chicago area. We've got Taco Bell. Like, that's really the only one. And like in Austin, they've got Torchies and all these other ones. And you know,
a lot of Torchies in Austin and Dallas.
Yeah. And Alex was like, I'm just drinking out of a Torchies. He had picked up Torchies that morning and had like a Torchies breakfast taco. So he could appreciate that. And he also said like Austin is just full of like great taco trucks. All over the place.
That I have in abundance in my neighborhood. So there's like, you know, I got to pick the taco truck with the shortest line if I want to go to a taco truck here. So those we have in abundance. So that is something that I absolutely take for granted. And if I went up north for an extended period of time, I'd be very upset that I couldn't go get taquitos in the morning or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I like that one. I like that one about like where the people live. In Scottsdale, for me, if I was answering the question for Scottsdale, it would be the weather is the best thing. And then the worst thing would also be the weather. So, that's probably how I'd answer it because, you know, from November to April is probably the best place in the world to live. And then from May, to October, not so much fun, way too hot.
No.
So,
and it gives you lizard skin too, unless you're constantly rubbing lotion into your hands. Oh,
yeah. Or you turn into a vampire like myself. Cause you just never go outside. So, you know, that's what it is. It's one of those two, but let's get to the football. We're going to answer. We got a bunch of mailbag questions. We're going to get to as many as we can in the next hour here. So before we kick it off, let me just tell you guys about Reality Sports Online. And by now, most of you have probably heard of Reality Sports Online, the powerful fantasy sports platform where owners get to build and manage their fantasy team like an NFL general manager. But the question is, have you tried it? It's time to see what all the buzz in the Dynasty community is about. Free agency, multi-year contracts, a rookie draft, multi-team trades, franchise tags, contract extensions, first-round rookie options, automated contract and salary cap functionality, and much, much more. Think it sounds complicated? It's not. The best thing about Reality Sports Online front office is that it doesn't take any more time than a standard league. It just requires more strategy. Think you're in the fantasy elite? Well, this is a platform to test your mettle. Still not sure? You can test out your general manager skills for FREE free in a mock. If you like what you see, use the promo code Fantasy Pros to receive a 10% discount on your team or league today. Fantasy just got real at realitysportsonline.com. And you and I are going to be putting a league together on Reality Sports Online pretty soon. I'm excited for that.
Likewise.
So, yeah, just got in the league with you, the Dynasty League you recommended for me. So, D-Bro's already lowballed me on a trade. So that's how you know things are going well. So we're excited about it. But let's get into these mailbag questions here, Fitzy. And the first one is from our boy, Pigbird. Pigbird always joins us on the Discord every single Friday. We're there at 5 Eastern. So check that out if you would. But I love this question. It says, what do the two of you disagree about most strenuously? And why is Bogman wrong? So probably because Pat put the question out there, I probably would have got the why is Pat wrong if I had asked the question. But I don't know if there's anything. I think there's players that we disagree on. But is there anything fundamentally, do you think, that you and I disagree on vehemently?
No, I mean, I'm sure we have minor philosophical differences about team building, and we do have some disagreements on players. We covered some of those when we did the shows earlier this year, talking about our positional rankings, Bogman. But let me sandbag you here with something totally new. And I almost feel guilty. Like this is a like a heel turn for me. This is me turning on my tag team partner and like hitting him with a steel chair. So
I feel like Marty Jannetty already.
You do, man. This is like me super kicking you through a plate glass window, Bogman. I'm totally out on George Pickens.
You're out on George Pickens completely?
I'm out on George Pickens.
And what's the reasoning?
Yeah, so I was kind of doing a sweep of my dynasty and redraft rankings post-free agency, pre-NFL draft, and was just kind of digging into some of the guys in spots where there were, you know, there was some grouping. I wanted to find some ways to differentiate some of these guys. I kind of went down this rabbit hole with George Pickens and some advanced stats. And, you know, I love that he's got this sexy game where he's just such a beast at the contact points, has that, even though he's not as big as DK Metcalf, he plays bully ball like DK Metcalf. He'll just like throw guys around and run blocking.
He's very physical.
Yeah. Very physical for a kind of a thin built dude.
Wide receiver, yeah.
Yeah, but big concerns for me, Bogman. One, ability to draw targets. And he didn't have more than 8 targets in any game last year and didn't have more than 6 in any game after week 6. That's kind of a problem. And the other one is like he did pretty poorly in some advanced stats, like next gen stuff, as far as separation cushion. And he was one of the worst in the league last year as far as yardage after catch. I think just 2 yards per catch in terms of yaks. So really the only big plus for him was just like his ability to win in those contested catch situations. And like maybe he turns out to be Dez Bryant, a guy who is not known as being a great separator and, you know, commands a lot of targets nonetheless and has a bunch of wide receiver one seasons. But like, there are just some red flags for me where I think maybe he's a little overvalued and people aren't worrying as much as they should about this target drawing ability and some of the other stuff, his ability to separate and his ability to make yards after the catch.
The yards after the catch is probably the most concerning thing that you mentioned there. The separation, I don't care as much about that because he's a contested catch guy and he's big and he's physical. You know, if this was a smaller guy that we're talking about that couldn't separate, or a guy like N'Keal Harry, who is just, he doesn't separate. He was great at the catch point in college. He's not done it in the pros at all whatsoever. You know, sometimes the game just doesn't translate. That I understand. But the separation stuff, he's the 50-50 balls are 80-20 going to Pickens, right? He's so good at the catch point. The other thing is, I he was dealing with a rookie quarterback for half the season and inaccurate Mitch Trubisky, the half before that. So it's those two guys he's dealing with in a Matt Canada offense that wouldn't allow Kenny Pickett to audible. So it's not like Pickett could put his guy in a better situation, change a route, whatever, you know? So I think they're going to put Pickens in better chances for success after the catch, throw him some shorter passes because, like you said, he's physical. He's physical with the ball in his hands too. So you need to set up some shorter passes for him and stuff, but he was the downhill guy where Deontay was getting everything over the middle and Pat was the outlet guy, the short guy to do stuff after the catch with the football. So I think because he was more of a field stretcher this year and that was his usage, that's why you didn't see a lot of yak, a lot of amazing catches from him because they were off target from Trubisky and Pickett as well. So he's just so good at the catch point. I think he's going to be okay. And I think he'll get better. But the yak is concerning. And I can understand that. So, So Pickens, that's probably the thing that we disagree on the most after your advanced research. Yeah. I think little things, you know, like you said, philosophical, I'm more of a win now guy. I want to win in the first 2 years of a dynasty league. And for me, it's more because I've seen so many dynasty leagues come and go. So I want to get the money early. And then if we are going to play longer, I'll do my rebuild, but I want to win quick. So that's probably the biggest difference we have. You're more of a 3-year window. I'm a kind of a 1 to 2 year window guy. I like to do my rankings in a 3-year window because I do believe that's how more people play. But, if we're splitting hairs, I'll go with the guy that's going to be better now. So than the guy with potential. So that's probably the biggest philosophical difference we have. Pigbird also asked this question, which I love after like such a philosophical question to start. He throws, what round rookie pick is Kendrick Bourne worth? A very player specific one. I don't know, like a 6 or a 7, not very high for Kendrick Bourne right now, right?
Yeah, probably anything at the bottom of the draft. I mean, I don't want to totally diss Kendrick Bourne. He has strung together 5 straight seasons with like at least 30 catches every year.
He's good. The Patriots just don't like him and they don't throw the ball that much, you know.
They didn't like him last year for some reason. Like I remember the reports where he was kind of in the doghouse with them in training camp. But that was after sort of a surprising 2021 season from him where he was the wide receiver 33 in PPR.
Right.
But unfortunately, like that has been the absolute ceiling for Kendrick Bourne, wide receiver 33. And like there's been little indication that he's going to get back to that ceiling anytime soon. So I think you're just taking whatever you could get for him, Pigbird.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much, you know. And if it's nothing, maybe just hold on if you have the roster spot and see what he does. You know, I would really like to see him somewhere else. But We'll see if that happens. The next question from the on Twitter, FF Mad Scientist Aaron, he says, which 2023 rookie tight ends do you think could find their way into the tight end one range within 2 to 3 years? Mayer, Washington, Kuntz, Laporta, Kincaid, Musgrave, lots of options. What do you think, Fitzy, among the tight ends here?
Yeah, first of all, shout out to Aaron, who was in my Scott Fishbowl division last year. Nice. Really good guy. And yeah, I mean, the guys just like off the top of my head who I think have a reasonable chance to become tight end ones in a fairly short time window. Dalton Kincaid, Mike Mayer, Darnell Washington. Although you and I have both expressed concerns that Washington might not be just, you know, he might be this guy who's used more as a blocker and that kind of inhibits his pass catching role. Luke Musgrave, who I know Scott Bogman is a huge fan of, and Sam Laporta, who I think is going to benefit from some much better quarterbacking than he saw at the University of Iowa. And then, like, there's some guys with a chance, like Tucker Kraft, Luke Schoonmaker, Zach Kuntz, Will Mallory. Kuntz and Mallory were kind of like combine stars. You know, Kraft, a small school guy from what, South Dakota State? Is that his? Kraft is a South Dakota State guy. Yeah. So really interesting, deep tight end class. And, you know, considering it doesn't take all that much to crack the lower end of tight end one range these days, I think there are a lot of guys with the chance to get there.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Mayer got there quicker than all these other guys, because I think he's the most pro ready. I think he has less upside than, you know, Kincaid, Musgrave, and Laporta, maybe Washington too, just because Washington is so unbelievably gifted athletically. So, but I would say Mayer is your quickest plug and play, and he can do everything pretty well right now. But I think all those other guys probably have a higher upside than him. But tight end is the most difficult position to translate from college success to the NFL, because they're asking you to do so much. You got to block, you know, you got to block TJ Watt and Myles Garrett and those guys. You at least got to chip them, and you got to beat Roquan Smith over the middle. And you know, you got to run good routes. You got to catch the ball. You got to body up these corners and safety. So it's not just, you know, running back is easy, because it's here's the ball, run, you know. Pass blocking is the hardest thing for those guys to pick up. Tight ends take a little bit longer. So, but yeah, like, to crack the you know, the bottom end of the top 12, I mean, you know, right now we have Goddard, Komet. If you want to put David Njoku in there, Greg Dulcich, Evan Engram, Dalton Schultz, you know, Darren Waller has been healthy for a couple of years. Like, you know, these guys could crack it rather quickly if they find success immediately in the NFL. So there's, I mean, then that's what makes this tight end class so good. There's so many of them. So yeah, I think most of those guys could do it. Next one up here is from P2W Dynasty Nick on Twitter. He says, when someone says the phrase high risk, high reward, who is the first player that comes to your mind if you were actively in a dynasty startup? So high risk, high reward. Is there one player that jumps out to you, Fitzy?
Yeah, great question here from my guy Nick Scripp, who does some excellent video work. So in Superflex, a couple guys come to mind right off the bat. Tua Tagovailoa, who could be a top 12 quarterback for the next decade, or, you know,
out of the league next year. Yeah,
out of the league next year if the concussion thing persists and becomes career threatening. So he's a big one. I'd put Trey Lance in that bucket too, especially he is with a team that clearly does not value him very much and burned a lot of draft capital to get him, and yet would rather start Brock Purdy next year, a guy who just had Tommy John surgery, basically. So, yeah, I mean, like, I still think Lance is a really talented dude, and I kind of don't agree with the way the 49ers have handled him so far. I mean, he barely played last year. One of his games was in a monsoon in Chicago. You know, another, he breaks his foot and he's done. So, like, the guy hasn't had much of a chance, but I think he is still uber talented and could be like a difference making fantasy quarterback potentially. So those two guys.
Pitts for me. Kyle Pitts was the one that came to my mind, because we know the skill is in there. We know he has it, right? But There's bad quarterback play in Atlanta right now. It's either Desmond Ridder or Heinicke this year. Maybe they're trying to bottom out to get Caleb Williams next year. We're not sure. They have the horses to move up if they wanted to. But it doesn't seem like that's what they want to do. They want to give Ridder a shot. They're kind of the opposite of San Francisco, right? Where it seems like they don't want to give Trey Lance the shot. And Atlanta wants to give Ridder the shot. And we're kind of like, I don't know if he's the guy. And you have a run first offense from Arthur Smith. So the passing is going to be limited. They added Drake London, who's another, you know, red zone, big body type of a guy. And they're definitely going to add more receiving talent. To me, it's the nature of this offense and the quarterback play for Pitts, because we know the talent is in there. I think, like you said, Fitzy, the rest of the running backs and wide receivers, you kind of know what you're getting. I think high risk, high reward might be guys like Christian Watson, who, like, a lot of his production is going to come from touchdowns. I think it was like 33% somewhere in that neighborhood last year. His production was from scores, and now they're, you know, looks like they're going to Jordan Love. So how many touchdowns are the Packers going to be scoring? Is he going to have enough of an opportunity with a new QB to do that? So that, you know, those guys are what I think of. And it's not necessarily just because of them. It's about the pieces around them as well. So, you know, when you're looking at non-QBs, any other non-QBs pop out to you?
Yeah, just to piggyback on the Pitts thing, like, to me, there's not even, like, I don't even see the risk there. It's just, are you willing to, it might be a case of delayed gratification, because they need to get the quarterback thing right, and they might need to, you know, eventually.
So for this question in particular, because of dynasty startup, that's why I picked Pitts, because startup, it's still going to be very expensive.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
And, you know, they might also need to wait until they eventually throw Arthur Smith overboard and get a play caller who isn't straight out of the Paleolithic era. Maybe Cam Akers, a guy who we have in small sample sizes see him perform really, really well. And we've also seen some other sample sizes, like the playoffs 2 years ago, where he just seemed like he was stuck in the mud, going against some really good defenses, though, as a possible excuse. And then last year, where he couldn't even get onto the field for some of the season. So he's an interesting case, because, like, I think there's a lot to like in his profile, but, like, we've seen some really good bursts from him and some really kind of scary bursts of, like, non-usage or ineffectiveness.
Yeah, absolutely. So high risk, high reward is always, just think of the most fun players. And that's usually who is in there sometimes. But before I go to the next question, I'll remind you guys to check out our YouTube. You know, if you're watching on YouTube, please drop us a like, leave a comment, subscribe, and click the bell to get notifications for when we have live streams and podcasts and short videos and all kinds of stuff. Please do that. And while you're at it, subscribe to the Fantasy Pros YouTube channel and comment below this video, because when you do, you could win a free FREE upgrade to Fantasy Pros Premium. Whether you're looking for custom mock drafts, salary cap tools, or in-depth analysis of your fantasy performance, Fantasy Pros Premium has the tools to help you win. Unlock the most powerful fantasy tools in the industry. Don't want to wait for the giveaway? Sign up today at fantasypros.com/premium and start playing smarter, not harder. I love this next question that we have here, and I did some prep work specifically for this question. Fantasy football buddy guy Dan, what metrics or data do you find to be most helpful or sticky when evaluating incoming rookies, and where can you find said metrics? Now, there's a lot of great places for metrics. Pretty much any football site, we have some. Fantasy Pros, PFF is a big one. Football Outsiders is a big one. Football Guys is a big one. You know, all these places have metrics. I like some of the metrics that you can get in certain places and some that you can get pretty much anywhere. And I'm a big PFF guy. You know, our guy Erickson, I was reading his stuff before he came over here to Fantasy Pros when he was at PFF. I'm a, you know, subscriber to all their stuff. So a couple that I have found that I like for running backs, missed tackles forced is a big one, you know, and this is one where Bijan particularly stands out. He has like 50 more broken tackles over the last 2 years than any other running back in the country. It's unbelievable how many missed tackles forced he has had. breakaway yards. Now, I like breakaway yards over breakaway percentage fits, because breakaway yards, the total is better because those are the guys that are also have the most carries, right? So it may not be one big chunk. Breakaway percentage is nice, but all that does really is show that a guy is fast. You know, breakaway yard shows that a guy is fast and he is big enough to carry the bulk of the yards for the most part, because those guys are, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, and then you break one big one, you know. So breakaway yards is a big one, but my favorite one that is specific for running backs would be the elusive grade from PFF. And just if you go back from 2020, 2021 down to 2022, you see guys, you know, that had success. In 2020, Javonte was like top five. Bijan was top five. Jahmyr Gibbs, who's in this draft, was in there. Ramondre Stevenson, Michael Carter, Khalil Herbert. In 2021, Kendre Miller, Dwayne McBride, Tajay Spears, Bijan, Kenneth Walker, Roshan, Damian Pierce, all in that top 25 of elusive grade. And then last year, Roshan, Bijan, McBride, Spears, Bigsby, Cameron Peoples, all guys that are coming into the draft. It's not a one for one. It doesn't always work. But for running backs, those are my favorite. For wide receivers, it's yards per route run is my favorite. I like ADOT, you know, for more of those field stretcher guys, contested catches for the smaller guys to see, you know, if they're bodied up, can they get the ball? But yards per route run, that is, and Erickson pointed this out on an ITL show a long time ago, and I paid attention to it ever since then. Yards per route run is, if I'm picking one stat to evaluate a wide receiver coming into the league, that is the stat that I use. And same thing, as I said, like, you know, in 2020, Devontae Smith, Elijah Moore, Chris Olave, Kyle Pitts, Shakir, Treylon Burks, Garrett Wilson, Dobbs, Dotson, Tony, Amari Rodgers, you know, 2021, JSN, Burks, Wandale, London, Puka Nacua, Sky Moore, Jameson, Garrett Wilson. And then last year, a lot of guys that are coming in, you know, Hyatt, Marvin Harrison Jr. is not eligible yet, but a stud, Quentin Johnston, Rashee Rice, Jordan Addison, Xavier Hutchinson, Charlie Jones, all these guys are in the top 30 that are coming in. So it's not perfect. I'm not looking for one stat, but you kind of combine this with watching these guys play, right? You know, some of these guys are NFL caliber. They get invited to the Senior Bowl, to the combine, to all these things. Plus they look good and they have these metrics. It's a combination of all of them, but when I'm looking at numbers specifically, those are the things that I like to look at. Fitz, is your got anything to add on to my babbling here?
Yeah, Boggs. You've done a pretty good job listing some of the performance stats. Although sometimes, just as a warning, I mean, I think some performance stats, in especially for college players, can be a little bit noisy. And for some of the same reasons,
competition is a big thing there.
Right, yeah. Level of competition. I mean, SEC, you know, if a guy averages 5.6 yards in the SEC, not necessarily a bad thing. If a guy averages 5.6 yards a carry in Conference USA, you know, maybe that's not
as
the
good.
Greatest sign. Or a guy's got Bryce Young or CJ Stroud as his quarterback versus having Graham Mertz or Spencer Petras
yes.
as his quarterback, just to name a couple of the mediocre Big Ten quarterbacks I've been sentenced to watch quite a bit of the last couple of falls. I'll go with more of an answer based on athleticism, because I think that's so important in evaluating the prospects. And one of my favorite sources for info on the rookies and their athleticism is playerprofiler.com. Our friends over there, Matt Kelly, Cody Carpentier, they track all of the testing numbers, and some of their real useful stats are speed score and burst score. Speed score basically takes a guy's 40, but factors in his weight and comes up with a score. And I believe it was Bill Barnwell who invented speed score, but playerprofiler.com does a great job of tracking it and giving you the speed score for everyone, telling you what percentile they're in based on their time and weight. Burst score, which is kind of a similar thing, combining their jumping, broad jump and vertical jump, with their weight. And then they also have like some performance stuff, breakout age, and what, how old was a player when he first became a significant contributor to his college team, and college dominator rating, which is basically like a measure of touch share for a player in college. So playerprofiler.com is also a really good source for studying prospects.
Yeah, I hope that helped. Yeah, so that was good answers, I feel like, for that one. I feel proud of our answers there. So hopefully that helped. We go to Fish Gambler. Ryan asked us, there seems to be no better time to sell the 1.01 than right now. Bijan's value can only go down. Disagree there. If he lands behind a solid vet, people may choose a QB over him in Superflex. What are some trade packages you would accept for the 1.01 in Superflex? Fitz knows my answer is there's no package. I'm taking Bijan, but Fitz, I will pass it to you here.
Yeah, exactly. And, if he does land with a vet, it's not Bijan whose workload is threatened. I'll say that much.
Where can
Fish
he
Gambler.
Land? Let's do that. Where can he land that would actually hurt? San Francisco?
Yeah, and I mean, there are places, right? He's not going to San Francisco. He's not going to Indy. He's not going to,
the Giants,
the Jets, the Giants. Any of these teams with great running backs are not going to take
Dallas is really the only place I feel like could, because Pollard is great. And Pollard ain't Bijan, but Pollard is great.
Yeah, so, that would kind of suck if they had Bijan be an early down guy and Pollard be a late down guy. That would just devalue
Pollard would
both.
Have the same role. God, that would suck. I would not like that.
Yeah, and I mean, the same, maybe a little lessened because I don't think he'd get quite as many relief carries for Bijan as he would for Ezekiel Elliott. But yeah, so I mean, I guess when I think of this, Boggs, like straight up, there was only one guy I could think of with like really similar value. And you might disagree with this, but I think like CeeDee Lamb would be a fair one for one exchange, pretty close to fair. Different types of players, different positions. But I think CeeDee Lamb has, a guy who is an up and coming superstar and has a long window. He is just coming into his prime.
Yeah, I think wide receivers last longer too. So that's more than fair. I think Justin Jefferson, like the top end wide receivers, if you want to do one for one, sure. But what about a package in Superflex? Is there would you do Kirk Cousins and the 105 in a Superflex? Or is that going too far down the QB barrel? Moving back four or five spots in the draft? What QB plus moving back four or five spots in the draft would it take for you to give up 1.01, which we assume would be Bijan?
All right. So I wouldn't. If I was only going to go down to, say, 103 in Superflex, to me, there's kind of a shelf after 102. And you are much more trusting of Anthony Richardson than I am, Boggs. So,
I'm not very trusting of him. The upside is incredible.
Sure. So. I get it. So, for me, two 102 and 103 are Stroud and Bryce Young. So, to drop from 101 to a position where I could get one of those guys, I wouldn't necessarily need that much. I'd maybe just want a good younger wide receiver thrown in his juice, like Brandon Ayuk, Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, either the Washington guys or Ayuk, really solid young receivers. I think that might be enough to move me off Bijan. If I already felt pretty good about my running back situation and could use a quarterback perhaps. So it wouldn't take too much, although those are certainly valuable young receivers. But if I was going to go down to a spot that I didn't feel great about in the first round, 109 or something like that, I think I'd also want a 2024 first, maybe a 2024 first and second, or a 2024 first and a useful young piece. Maybe a guy like Dulcich or Cam Akers or someone like that.
So. Right. I for me, it's hard. Bijan is one of the players coming in the draft that could easily be 1.01 for the next couple of years, which doesn't happen a lot. And Breece Hall seemed like that guy, too, when he, started his run as a rookie in the NFL before getting hurt. So we didn't expect him to be that. Bijan, we do expect to be that. And I understand, because I have this in baseball as well. In baseball, for me, it's the time to trade the minor league guys in a dynasty is right before they get to the bigs, because their hype is never going to be bigger, which is exactly what's going on with Bijan right now. It's right before he comes in the league. His hype is enormous. Everyone's talking about 1.01 and trying to get it. I understand that it seems like there's nowhere to go but down, but this is a type of guy that can be Christian McCaffrey for the next couple of years. He can be that LaDainian Tomlinson that was in your league. He can be. I'm not saying he absolutely will. Nothing is guaranteed in the NFL, but in terms of success in college and what you see on tape and, you know, compare him to NFL backs, he is it. There's no running back coming in next year that's going to be him, you know. So he is going to be the best back over the last couple years of drafts. And it's hard for me to trade that. But I am part of the reason that his hype has been pushed because I've been talking about him for 3 years. So take my advice with a grain of salt. And at least I'm self-aware enough to know that and say it. So,
yeah. You know. And although the new car phenomenon you mentioned where, you know, as soon as you drive it off the lot, there is a little bit of depreciation there. That is true, but I'm not too worried about that with Bijan.
Yeah, me neither. So, yeah, I mean, I would make sure you're getting if it's a quarterback and it's conditional and you need a quarterback, just make sure I'm not trading for one in this class. I'm getting a quarterback that's already had success in the NFL if I'm trading Bijan. So that's kind of my last, like, what I'd say if I am moving that deal because I desperately need a QB, I'm getting Justin Fields. You know, I'm getting a top QB. That's like my low line right there is Justin Fields. I'm getting a top 10 level QB in the NFL currently right now that I've already seen do it. That's what it would take for me. I'm a little more staunch, though. Ed McComber, he asked, if Lamar leaves Baltimore, hold or sell Andrews' premium tight end value, 1.5 PPR?
Short answer for Ed, I would hold. He balled out with Tyler Huntley in 2021, did Mark Andrews. And
Huntley won't throw the ball more than 10 yards down the field.
Yeah, and it's funny, Bob. There were actually, like, it seems weird, but, like, last summer people were actually talking about, like, is Andrews going to have the same value with Lamar coming back that he did with Tyler Huntley late in 2021, you know, and it turned out Andrews was going off in the first half of last season. And then when Lamar missed time towards the end of the season, Andrews' production was really curbed. But even if Lamar goes, like, I'm fairly certain that Andrews is still going to be a really valuable asset. And, you know, I don't think it's going to be long term. Tyler Huntley as the Baltimore quarterback. So yeah, he's a hold for me.
Yeah. Same for me. You know, if it's Lamar, if it's not Lamar, he's the number one option in this offense because they haven't drafted well at wide receiver. That's been a question that the Ravens have been asked recently too, right? Bateman hasn't worked out. Devin Duvernay isn't what they thought he was going to be. And I love Devin Duvernay, Texas guy. But they run the ball so much and Lamar runs the ball too, but Mark Andrews is the number one in that offense. So I agree with you, Fitz. I'm holding on his value. Len M asks us, running backs, keep or trade for draft picks this year. Cam Akers, Tony Pollard, Damian Pierce. So he can keep or trade these guys, Akers, Pollard, or Pierce.
I would trade Pollard if I were Len. Ooh. Because simply because of perceived value, Boggs. Like, I think I've been kind of surprised by Damian Pierce's ADP in Dynasty and Redraft. I think it's too low right now. I think he's being undervalued just because they kind of slowed down and pulled back on the reins with him last year, which is understandable because he never got more than about, 110 carries for Dan Mullen in Florida.
Another reason I hate Dan Mullen.
Exactly. Right. And I think he kind of hit the wall a little bit after a while. But Pierce was everything we hoped he would be and then some for the first 10 games or so of last year. So I think he's being undervalued. And, you know, I think the perceptions of Cam Akers vary from manager to manager, but generally, I think he's a hard guy to peg, and I don't know if you're going to get fair value from him in a trade. Everyone loves Tony Pollard, Boggs. You're going to get full value in a trade.
Yeah, you should. And that's, I mean, trades are obviously subjective because everyone has a different value system and everyone has their own way of trading, right? So it gets a little subjective. I'd say for the most part, if I have a lead back, I'm not trading that guy. For the most part, you know, if I'm trading for depth to fill in a spot that I need, especially in a super flex, if I have to have that QB, then yes, I'm dealing the running backs because they get me the most, I feel like. So, yeah, I mean, if you're just looking for straight value, Fitz is right. Pollard is the guy to trade because, you know, it's kind of like the last question that we just answered with Bijan. When is Pollard's hype going to get bigger than it is right now this second? You know, the only time it might get bigger is when they don't take a running back in the draft. And now, you know, it is Pollard and, you know, Malik Davis or whatever going into the season, right? Or someone lower that they draft, you know, not a Bijan or a Jahmyr Gibbs or anybody like that, that would come in and split carries. A little worried about Pierce with Singletary, because these are both guys that took over 200 carries last year, and there's just not that many carries to go around. I still think Pierce is the better back, so I still think he's the lead, so I still want to keep him. Akers confuses the hell out of me, Fitz, because it's like he's in the doghouse. They're going to cut him. He doesn't get cut. They cut Henderson, and now he's back in the lead role. So, and Sean McVay is staying. So I guess we've worked everything out and everything's copacetic here in LA, but he's the one that confuses me the most. But yeah, if you're looking to deal and get the best value, it's 100% Pollard. Pierce might be the guy to trade for right now because of my thought process on him and Devin Singletary, right?
So. Although it's scary that Houston is maybe not even done adding. Like, what if it's Singletary and Damian Pierce and Devon Achane or something
sure.
like that? You know, that could be troublesome. I think what I like about Akers is that, you know, he flashed at the end of last year. He's
a good back. He's very good.
Yeah, remember how valuable Todd Gurley was when Sean McVay first got that Rams offense coming? I'm not saying that Akers is as good as Gurley was, but he does have a versatile skill set. And if he can, you know, just get something approaching that workload, I think he could be immensely valuable. And I don't think the Rams have the draft capital to mess around with running backs too much. So I don't think his primacy in that backfield is going to be threatened all that much.
These are great points to make. So absolutely. I like that point about them. You know, they're not going to add anyone. They don't have any cap space and they don't have draft capital to add a running back. So yeah, I like it. Just Joshin asked, what are your thoughts on young players who have had very little or no playing time in the NFL due to illness or injury, but had a lot of potential coming out of college? He gives us examples of John Mechie and Justin Ross. So your thoughts on that question, Fitz?
Yeah, good question by Just Joshin too. But, you know, just a caveat here, like I always feel a little bit slimy with the commodification of guys like this who are dealing with potentially career-threatening conditions, which is the case with Justin Ross and his, what was it, neck injury or cervical condition?
Yeah, spinal fusion surgery.
Spinal fusion surgery, yeah. So, and then with, you know, Mechie, obviously, who, what a form of cancer? I forget
leukemia.
Which form of leukemia. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess it depends on your initial read on those guys. Like Boggs, you and I disagreed a little bit on Mechie coming out of college. You liked him more than I did. You know, I definitely like Justin Ross a lot. I know there were some warts on his college profile before the injury thing, but, he was a prospect I really liked, but I think in either case, you have to insist on at least a little bit of a discount just because of the, you know, the situations those guys are dealing with and the possibility that their careers are going to get cut short.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like you said, I love John Mechie. This is really, you cannot take these guys and lump them, you know, you have to go case by case here, which is, you know, leg work that we don't want to do. I understand that. But you know, I will never be rostering Justin Ross. I don't think he plays football again. They recommended him to not play football when they found out about the spinal fusion thing. They fixed it and said he's 100% cleared and he was good to go. Then he immediately got hurt again. So I don't know. Justin Ross, you know, he's great skill. He's a great player. And if he didn't have this stuff, he would have been a first round pick last year. He's unbelievable wide receiver. But I don't think he's going to stay healthy. Mechie is different. It seems like, you know, this is treatable. And I think he's very good. So obviously that's different. We had Jameson coming in. You know, Jameson's value is probably lower than it should be right now because all we saw was him coming off of ACL surgery at the end of the year last year. Now he's going to have a full season to really recover and be 100% ready to go. And you're going to see a different player this season. So it's a case by case basis, which I know is not the answer that you want to hear, but that's really what it is, you know, because all of these things are so different. If we are lumping it in general, you know, the old scouting trope fits: availability is the best ability, right? And if you don't have it, you can't be on the field to, you know, get stats, to get points for us on our fantasy teams if you are not on the field. So in general, if a guy's coming in lowered, you do have to lower them a little bit. You know, Pickens was just coming off an ACL surgery, got in like two games in college at the end in the playoff before coming into the draft, and he fell, I feel like, in the draft because of it. So, you know, it is case by case, but in general, those guys got to get knocked down a tick. So, you know, if you can take them as flyers, as free guys like Ross, great. Grab them and stash them and see if they come back and play. But if it's going to cost me anything, they got to get lowered. That's basically the overall rule there. Simon asked us, this is a good one: how does this year's wide receiver class in compare to last year's wide receiver class?
Yeah. I think he might have also asked the last
2 years. 2021.
Yeah. So I guess my short answer would be not very well, Boggs. Like I like the last two classes a lot more than this. I mean, last year you had, you know, I think you felt pretty good about the chances of stardom, or at least of being a really solid starter for like Olave, Garrett Wilson, Jameson Williams, and then a bunch of other guys who, you know, had the draft capital and reasons to be optimistic about their future, with like Jahan Dotson, Treylon Burks, Sky Moore, who hasn't really panned out yet, but Christian Watson. And then, you know, like a second tier of potentially interesting guys with like Wandale Robinson, Alec Pierce, David Bell, who may or may not pan out. And then 2021 was obviously like a star-studded year with Jamar Chase, Jalen Waddle, Devonta Smith, Rashad Bateman, Elijah Moore, Rondale Moore, Kadarius Toney. A lot of star power at wide receiver in these last two classes. This year, Boggs, man, like I don't think there's anyone I'm confident pegging for stardom. Like no one. I think like Jackson Smith and Jigba and Quentin Johnston and maybe Zay Flowers have a shot at stardom. Some would put Drake London into that group, although I have some serious concerns about his ceiling based on his very pedestrian testing at the combine. I do think those four guys are going to have like solid careers as starters, but then like behind them, you know, not a lot of guys. Like I'm totally, some people like Josh Downs, some people like Jalen Hyatt, some people like Cedric Tillman.
I feel like there's more of those guys that are maybes in this year's class than there have been in 21 and 22. But it, I mean, it is not a comparison at the front half of wide receivers. 2021 was amazing. 2022, also amazing.
Really good.
This one at the front end, nah, you know, we're not there. Back end, I kind of like better. You know, I think the depth deep is better in this class than it was last year or the year before, but that top is not nowhere close, right? Yeah.
Even with those back end guys, Boggs, like, I mean, I like Jonathan Mingo. Like he's a guy to me. He's a top 10 guy in this class. Other people don't have him in their top 20. And I like the fact that the Steelers had a pre-draft visit with Mingo, Boggs, because, you know, if the Steelers are interested in a wide receiver, that's the one team that knows its wide receivers and like never misses on these guys.
Yeah. I think there are more dart throws in this class. Like, you know, you mentioned you like some of those late guys. I like, you know, Bryce Ford Wheaton tested extremely well, and I watched a couple of great games with him. Charlie Jones was in that yards per route run stat. Michael Wilson blew up at the Senior Bowl. Parker Washington had some bad quarterback play at Penn State. He could be better. Trey Palmer was in that group on the yards per route run. A lot of people are in on Puka Nacua. Raheem Jarrett was a high recruit. Ronnie Bell came off of ACL surgery last year. He has a higher ceiling than people give him credit for. Like, I like a lot of those. Now, look, I'll usually fall in love with Jalen Tolbert was that guy for me last year, and he didn't do a damn thing with the Cowboys. So these are dart throws, but I think there are more of those guys that I like this year than there have been in those other classes deep, but the front end, like, you know, front end's just not close.
Yeah, so. And like a lot of interesting dart throws, but even a guy like Mingo, who I'm fond of. I don't know if it's more than a 50-50 chance he'll be fantasy relevant 2 years from now.
And that's, yeah, those are just dart throws you're throwing at the end of rookie drafts too. So, you know, yeah, just not as well overall. Zales 2525 Rye ask us trade value questions. What would you accept for Kyler Murray? Two firsts for Kyler Murray, who's going to miss half this year. New coach coming in.
So let's buzz through, because Zales gave us four different ones. We'll buzz through these real quick. All right. I don't think he's worth two firsts anymore, at least not if either of those firsts is going to be an early first. Maybe if it's like, you know, 109 this year plus a first next year from a team that doesn't look like it's a dumpster fire. And basically, what would I accept for Kyler Murray? Yeah.
Like Kirk Cousins in a second?
Yeah. No.
I know you don't want to do that.
I'd want more than that. I'd want more than that.
Kirk Cousins in a late first.
Yeah.
Or Kirk Cousins in a gamble first, like a next year first. Would that get it done?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so too.
I think the 2024 draft is going to be really good. And I know, like, people are always, grass is always greener kind of thing, but I do think there's going to be a lot of star power next year. So I'm trying to stockpile 2024 first. I don't know if Kyler is quite worth like two premium firsts anymore, but, you know, if you get offered that and can get like any two firsts for Kyler, yeah, jump on it. But like, if I'm trying to acquire Kyler Murray, I'm not giving up any first that looks like it might be in the top four.
What about King Henry? He asked. I think you can still get two firsts. If not, what would you settle for?
No freaking way. More like a single mid first pick. I mean, look, he's going to be 30 at the end of this calendar year. I think he turns 30 in early January next year. Maybe a single mid-round first for a high mileage running back who's
I think at older. This point, if you're rostering Henry, you just kind of go down with the ship, you know, because you're not going to get what he's worth for you this year. You know, a mid first round pick. I mean, you would want Gibbs over him right now because Gibbs has, you know, no miles. So, it's hard for me to trade Henry at this point because you're absolutely not getting what he's worth for the next couple of years. And I'm a couple of years guy. So if you're rebuilding, okay. Or if you sense the rebuild is coming, fine. But for me, I'm with you. Hollywood Brown, is he worth a 24 first?
I personally would not give up a 2024 first for Hollywood Brown. I mean, I'd take like maybe, I think he's maybe worth a second this year and a second next year. I'm not a big Hollywood guy, so maybe you should answer this one, Boggs.
Yeah, I mean, I am a big Hollywood guy, but we're changing the whole nature of this offense now, and no Kyler for half of this year. So I absolutely would not trade a first round pick for Marquise Brown. Let me ask you this, Marquise Brown or Jalen Hyatt?
Oh, Marquise Brown.
Josh Downs.
Still Marquise Brown.
Jordan Addison. Last one.
Then I'd take Addison. I'd rather have Addison.
Yeah, and Addison's probably going to go late first this year in your drafts, depending on where guys land. So, yeah, I mean, he's a late first this year. Definitely not a first next year, like Fitz said. Class looks a little better, especially at the front.
Zay Flowers or Hollywood?
I'll take Hollywood there.
I think I'd rather have Flowers.
And that's fair. You know, so somewhere in that level, late first this year, not a first next year. It probably more like two twos, like Fitz said. Mark Andrews value if wanting to rebuild. We already kind of answered this on Mark Andrews. We're still in, right?
Yeah, and he said super flex, so that changes the calculus a little bit. Like, I mean, in super flex,
he's getting that extra half for tight end premium. So
yeah, you might be able to get like 104. For him, or maybe a second this year and a first next year, or maybe just a first next year.
I mean, I think for the most part, if you're rebuilding, you know, squeeze. And this is what I say to everyone that sends me a question about I'm rebuilding. What should I get for this player? I just want to remind you guys, if you're rebuilding, you have all the power in the trade. You don't have to be good this year. You don't have to settle in a trade for what you're going to get for a player. If someone isn't meeting your asking price, wait them out. They need the guy. You don't. So you have the leverage in that scenario. It's also on the other side. You got to pay when you're in your window to win. So just, you know, I know it's, you know, not a lot's happening right now. People are wanting to make trades, but sometimes the best move is saying, yeah, this just is not going to meet my asking price. Or if someone limps at you, you know, instead of going back and forth for a month on it, just say, hey, man, we're not even close. This is what my deal looks like. And you max it out. Don't make it close. Max it out. So they can either go, oh, well, you're being ridiculous and walk away. Or they can start to, shed stuff off of what you're asking. So, you know, if you are rebuilding, I would just remind you, you have the leverage in deals. Squeeze that extra pick, squeeze something that, you both should feel uncomfortable after any trade. That's what a trade is. You know, you both should feel uncomfortable. Somebody's getting a proven asset. You're usually getting something that is not proven back. You know, if it's a one for one, if you're bad at wide receiver, that guy's bad at running back, you flip. Okay, fine, whatever. Nobody feels queasy. But in an offseason trade involving picks for proven talent versus unproven talent, everybody feels queasy in a trade. So that's where you should be when you make a trade. So I think that's going to wrap it up for us, Fitzy. I don't think we have time for any more of these questions, but we appreciate everyone that answered on Twitter. And, just enjoy it. Like we said, please, if you would follow our YouTube and leave a comment, subscribe, turn on the bell, all that stuff. We'd really appreciate it. So thanks everyone for sending in questions. We'll definitely do another one of these in the future too. And if you do have questions, feel free to jump on the Discord, the Fantasy Pros Discord, and ask us on Fridays at 5 Eastern. That's when we're usually there to answer your questions. So at Fitz_FF on the Twitter machine. Fitzy, what do you got coming up, my friend?
Yeah, and just want to apologize to some of the people whose questions we couldn't quite get to. We, reserved for the end some of the ones that were maybe a little more specific to that manager and might not have been as quite the general interest questions as some of the other ones. So apologies, but yeah, we'll still try to answer those. And, we will have other mailbags. So what do I have coming up, Boggs? I've got a big home league fantasy baseball draft coming up.
Samesies.
Defending champion. So, this is going to be big, and I think I'm in a decent position to maybe repeat. It's kind of a dynasty league. So it's going to be a big weekend for that. And, we are pretty much dialed in on NFL draft stuff and dynasty rookie stuff at Fantasy Pros for the next month. I know, Boggs, when this comes out, we are going to be less than a month away from the draft, only about 4 weeks. Hard to believe, man. It's going to creep up fast.
Yeah, it is getting here. Well, of course, you can find me here. You can find me on the War Room over at ITL with my guy CK talking about the NFL draft. You can find me on In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast with Chris Welsh. Obviously, he is also on Leading Off every single day on Fantasy Pros. Check me out on the Discord, CFB Winning Edge. Just follow me at Bogman Sports, and we will see you guys next week. Take it easy, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way.
It's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.